All right, guys, we got a little pre-show announcement before Christine and Charlie and I get into the meat of the episode.
That Jillian. Meat.
Yes, I did say meat. I was going to say Jillian is here for this little pre-show announcement.
Hey, guys. Okay. Apologies that I've been MIA, and I know the last time I was on the show, I said that I was back for good, pending certain things, and those certain things happened. I'm deciding actually to step down. Charlie and Kat have been doing a phenomenal job, and it's really not fair to them to keep, you know, jumping around and on call. And honestly, there's poor Charlie. He's going to end up like me, where it's just like, I don't want to live on this planet anymore. I can't take it. And it is. It's a stressor on me because I got a big heart, and it angers me, a lot of the stuff that goes on. And I think it's time for me to move on, just because I'm moving on to other projects and I'm starting new things. And honestly, between times that those things go on, it is hard for Josh and I to get a makeup session that we can record. So Charlie fills in, you know, a lot on that in the past. So I just figure I'm missing enough more than I am actually recording. You guys have been great. I fought with this for a while too. I'm just like, oh, I don't know. And even after I decided and Josh and I talked, and I was just like, oh, I don't know. And it feels right to leave. And I feel bad because it was for so long and you guys didn't really have an answer. And I know Josh was getting messages and whatnot about where I am. And I'm like, I can't do that to Charlie. I'm not going to be that guy that's like, oh no, I'm coming back. And then it'd be like arachnophobia thing. I've decided not to quit. And so stories have already come up, and it's such a force of habit where I'm like, I'm going to be just one of the fans now, be like, oh my God, Josh, you guys have to talk about this. Because the first thing I think that popped up was the robots in the military. And I'm like, have they not seen Terminator? Oh my God, I wish we could talk about this. Oh, and actually something that had come up, the first story I remember doing with you, I'm going to reminisce for a second, believe was about sizeism, something like that, like Abercrombie, or that's as far back as I can remember. I do want to say props to Aerie, their clothing company. They have started doing ads where they're using real models, no Photoshop. Like they
actually,
have just
I just looked it up. Episode 16 was your first episode, and you and I talked about PETA making fun of that shark attack victim.
Mario?
Why society looks down on BBWs and the state of reality television.
No, I mean when I was first official co-host, though.
Oh, when you were first official.
So that was a guest spot.
Your first official episode as a regular was episode 26, where we talked about that woman with 15 kids and that she demanded the state paid her.
Oh, God, I remember that. Those are the good old days when it wasn't all the same subject matter.
and the thing with the fat babies.
Oh, God, yes. Fucking baby diet.
Episode 26
now reminiscing, I'm like, oh, I'm going to miss it.
Yeah, so episode 26 was your first as a regular. Episode 16 was the first when you showed up.
Ah, yes, yes. But anyway, well, early on, that was the first one that I recalled. Props to Aerie for realizing the bad state in society that we're at, that they're just stopping it. They're like, enough with the photoshopping. We're using real women. So yay to that. Been real, as the kids say, or used to say. I don't know.
You're old.
Hopefully. Maybe sometimes I could come back and rant about something video game related. Who knows? I'll take it to Geek Juice Radio with Alex. I'll be around. You guys will see me around the interwebs, either on the Cinema Snob, and I am going to be, doing some more stuff with Geek Juice, so, yeah, I'm not disappearing.
Well,
I'll never let go.
Whatever the wind blows.
Oh, wait, okay, let me...
Jillian.
let me go ahead and sum up some of my views, just in case you guys forget, and it's, don't be a sizes jerk face. Don't parent the world, parent your own kid. If you don't want them to watch certain shows or play certain games, be a fucking parent and monitor what they're doing. Stop getting offended on behalf of other people. More often than not, whoever you're crusading for doesn't even see anything wrong with whatever you're crusading against. No woman asks to be raped by what she wears. That's like saying that you're asking to be robbed if you live in a big house and deserve it. Stop taking zero tolerance to an insane level when most of the cases it's crystal fucking Pepsi clear that there was no violent intent and the kids were just playing. And get the stick out of your ass and realize that same-sex couples are not hurting you in any way. And Jesus did not ride dinosaurs. Oh, and fucking science needs to learn from science fiction before it becomes science nonfiction. And we're asking for trouble creating zombie genes, sending directions to our planet into outer space, trying to get aliens to come here, and trying to open dimensions. That is all. Peace.
And remember, she's not going away. She hasn't been abducted by aliens. So Jillian will still be around on her Twitter, the Mistress J, and she'll still be around on Facebook and all that. You can still contact her, and if you guys need her contact info, I've still got that as well.
Stalker!
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Saturday nights are for Josh Hadley, as well as Charlie the Fister McMullen.
Hey, hey, hey.
And the beautiful, vivacious Kat Thompson.
Ooh, I haven't been called vivacious before. I might have to use that somewhere.
I'm not even sure if I used it in the right context, but it sounded good, didn't it?
I'll take it.
Well, it was meant as a compliment, so you should take it.
Absolutely, I'll take it.
People called me vivacious once. Don't get used to it, Kat, because when it stops coming, it never starts hurting.
It never starts hurting, huh?
Never stops hurting.
I don't know what you said, but I want to put it on a t-shirt.
Which you can buy at the store at 1201beyond.com.
People called me vivacious once. That's going to be my t-shirt.
We're going to do something a little bit different this week. It's not the first time we've done this. We've done dumbest thing shows before. This is going to be an all...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
...show tonight. These are all little things. They're fun. They're dumb. But none of them really deserve full topics. So let's just start off with the cafeteria incident. Cafeteria manager in Utah decided that, well, a bunch of kids were defaulting on their lunch accounts. Obviously, it's their parents' fault, not the kids. So in the middle of lunch, she went and took all of their lunches and threw them in the trash to show them, you did not pay for these, so you don't get lunch. Am I the only one that thinks this was not the proper way to handle this situation?
Somebody was just fucking with somebody else, just for the hell of it. I mean, there would be no logical reason why they think that would be the best way to handle it.
I can't disagree with that. I can't even comprehend why somebody would think that's a good idea. That's like one of those rash decisions that you make up at the spur of the moment that always, always turn out wrong. But you still do it even though all of your instincts are screaming, don't do this, don't do this. It's sort of like running into your ex at a bar and sleeping with them, even though you hate them.
I could see that.
The lunch lady that did this actually is quoted as saying, you don't have any money in your account, so you don't get lunch. Now, maybe I am the weird commie pinko in this. If I saw a kid that couldn't afford lunch, I'd pull out the 80 cents or the $2 or whatever it was. I'd buy him lunch. Maybe I'm the commie pinko in this.
It's definitely one of those situations where there are steps involved that obviously this person didn't follow. You know, like telling the kid, hey, you don't have this money. And then maybe you give him a free ride a couple of times because it's not the child's fault that they don't have the money. It's their parents' fault. And then maybe you send a letter home with the kid to alert the parent to what's going on because it's entirely possible that the parent just doesn't know. You don't go and trash a bunch of food because you're mad.
Well, that's the other thing. They wrecked the food. They threw the food away. It's one thing if they're saying, you don't get this food, it goes to another student who paid their bills. It's another to go, no one gets the food because I'm a cock.
That's, for me, that's what pushes it past someone just making a bad decision into someone making a shitty decision willfully just for the sake of fucking with somebody. Because the people in the cafeteria presumably served these kids lunch knowing what the hell they were going to do in 30 seconds. Why would you do that?
To me, I'm getting a vibe of a whole lot of pent-up anger. But to humiliate children in public, in front of all their friends, even knowing how hard school is anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's
an old... All because of their parents falling behind on the lunch payments.
There's an old Chinese proverb, Josh. Some people are pieces of shit.
Not sure that's Chinese, but it works.
It doesn't apply often, but it applies here.
I'm not sure that was translated properly, but I'll go with it.
It's translated by the great 8th century poet Liu Chao. And let's just make this whole thing up. That would be really great. We should actually...
Yeah, if you can look at a cross between the pound sign and a sailboat and not understand that, then you're illiterate.
Let's move on from that to, okay, one of the favorite whipping boys for anyone is Fox News, right?
Yeah.
Did it surprise you when an impartial third party found that a new public policy poll discovered that Fox News is, quote, both the most trusted and least trusted news network on television. Besides the obvious contradiction right there, just the fact that somebody out there would find Fox News to be the most trustworthy, what does that say about society as it stands before we get into the actual numbers?
So sad. I just feel so sad.
It is pretty sad. I mean, coming out as the most trusted and the least trusted in the same poll is something only Rupert Murdoch would call math.
But to be fair, the numbers are kind of behind them because they are the most trusted among Republicans, with 69% of Republicans citing it as their most trusted news source, whereas only 1/4 of Democrats would cite MSNBC as their most trusted news source. So it's kind of where you're getting the poll numbers from not being accurate. Does that make sense?
It wasn't surprising to me, though, because there are a lot of people out there that just watch Fox News because they think they're supposed to. I mean, as Josh, as you know.
Also, Fox News tells them what they want to hear. Therefore, it reinforces what they already believe, making it more trustworthy.
Right.
Right.
As you know, during the day, I work for a satellite TV company. I probably shouldn't name them on the show. I can't directly tell you which one, but it's that one.
Is it the one you can't directly say about television?
Yes, that is the one. I don't want to get a citation, what you might call a Sunday ticket, but I won't say which one. But I get calls just all day long. Okay, both elderly. I can't tell if they're Republican over the phone. I'm not that much of a prick, but I can tell if they're elderly over the phone. I've had, I would say, like, in a given day, maybe 20% of my calls will be elderly people, and 20% of the elderly people will say, it has Fox News, right? Like, if they're changing their satellite package or whatever, like, it has Fox News. I won't lose Fox News, right? But nobody has ever said, I want to make sure it does not include Fox News. Because, like, there's nobody who's speaking out against them. There's people that will defend them and will watch whatever they're told to, and there's people that don't give a shit, but there are no people that will actively campaign against Fox News. And I'm not sure why that is.
Maybe it's because they know it comes with the package?
Well,
doesn't MSNBC and CNN come in that same package? Yet no one seems concerned about those little cast-off networks, right?
No, they're nowhere near as well-marketed as Fox News.
And what's really funny, I'm going to give you guys some of the numbers now. In this poll, 35% of Americans trust Fox News, PBS at 14, ABC at 11, CNN at 10, CBS at 9. This is the one that I found the funniest. MSNBC and Comedy Central tying at 6%. And then NBC finally rounding out the bottom at 3%. The fact that Comedy Central, which is not even a news outlet.
That's where I get my news, man.
Does that say something good or bad about the state of TV news?
I think it, on its face, it says something bad, but at its heart, I think it is something good. I mean, the reason why I watch The Daily Show and The Colbert Report is because the news, no matter where you get it, is shit. Comedy Central will at least put some whipped cream and sprinkles on the shit before you have to eat it.
I think it's really nice to know that they know, you know, Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart know that they are seen as news sources and that they think that's ridiculous because they're comedians. It's like, well, we're glad you're self-aware.
Let's look at the least trusted. Keep in mind the numbers I said previous, okay? Now, the least trusted, Fox News ranks at 33%. MSNBC at 19, Comedy Central at 14, CNN at 11, ABC News at 5%, CBS at 4%, and a tie with NBC and PBS at 2%. Now, I have a problem with that number because I have found, honestly, PBS is, you know, like the news hour with Jim Lehrer and whatnot, is probably the most even-handed out of all of them. So the fact that PBS is one of the least trusted, that one disturbs me a little bit.
I've never watched any news on PBS before. Might be a lot of it. At least with the big networks, you kind of know what you're getting into. But I only watch PBS for the Masterpiece series and the occasional really good documentary, I wouldn't know if I could trust one of their news programs or not, because I've never watched it.
I was surprised that it was only 14% that distrust Comedy Central, because when you really break that down, and I'm not really piecing this together until tonight, the only difference between Comedy Central and Fox News is that Fox News tries to hide their bias. Comedy Central does not. Any information that you get, especially from Jon Stewart, but also from Stephen Colbert, has a major liberal bias. And I kind of get people that watch Fox News because of that, because ideologically, I'm closer to Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert than I am to anyone on Fox News, so I understand the appeal of a bias in your favor. You know what I mean?
Let's move from that into the newest MSNBC debacle.
Okay. Oh, shit.
MSNBC, MSNBC, they have no credibility. Seriously, I actually think Fox News has more credibility than MSNBC at this point.
Ouch. Okay. Do you feel that, MSNBC? You should.
If both of you seen that new Cheerios commercial with the interracial couple, with the interracial parents?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that one.
I thought it was kind of a cute commercial. And it really doesn't even dawn on you, black father, white mother, does it? When you're watching it, does it?
Well, because I'm not a racist and I don't really pay attention to the importance of those kinds of things, no. There's, you know, unless you're purposely going, I'm a member of the KKK and I need something to hate right now. No, you don't really think about, hey, this is an interracial couple.
To give a little background, that this Cheerios commercial is a series because they've had this interracial couple in Cheerios commercials before. And it was the one with the little girl piling all of the Cheerios on top of her dad's stomach while he's sleeping on the couch because it's supposed to promote heart health. So she's helping her dad's heart. Again, that's cute, right?
That's adorable.
Yeah, it's cute. And you don't even notice that the mom is white. And it's the same actors. Well, when that first one aired, Fox News blew a fucking nut over it. They just blew a nut about how it's promoting sick values and all this. And the right wing went off on a racist tangent on it. So when this new one aired, right before the right wing could blow a nut, one of the MSNBC guys tweeted, "I wonder how much this will stir up the people at Fox News." And Fox News was offended at this.
Yeah.
You're calling us racists? We haven't even made our racial comments yet. How dare you? As they're harumphing over that, the head of the RNC actually said, "We are so offended that MSNBC would assume we're racists," this is my addition, because we've been racists about this exact thing in the past, "that we are holding all Republican speakers from MSNBC. We will not talk to you. We will not appear on your show. We will ban all MSNBC reporters from all RNC events, etc., etc., until you apologize for calling our racist organization, which has been racist in the past about this specific image, racists."
Yeah.
So immediately, instead of standing up and going, "No, we called it not only as we see it, but we called it with a factual basis," MSNBC immediately started groveling. "We're sorry, we're sorry, we're sorry. Please let the RNC onto our channel again. Please."
I was
disgusted by this. Just disgusted.
It was the opposite of what I felt last time I was on the show when we were talking about that Rachel Maddow thing.
God, this whole thing is stupid on so many levels. Like, they shouldn't have made the comment in the first place. Was it true? Yes. Yes, it was true. We all know it was true. We all knew somewhere along the lines that Fox News was going to be saying something fucking racist about it. MSNBC didn't need to fire the first shot.
To poke the bear.
Yeah. Like, they should have let Fox News say something stupid and then gone and said, "Hey, look, they're douchebags." That's how it should have been handled. You shouldn't have said, "Oh, well, this is going to stir up some trouble because they're all fucking racist." You know, it's not professional. It just makes you look stupid and petty and dumb, even if everybody knows it's true.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it in a way one of those, he said what everyone was thinking?
Yeah, it is. It is. But that's, you know, you don't want to be the guy who starts the fight. You want to be the guy that finishes the fight. You want to look like you're trying.
That's a very good way of putting it.
You want to look like you're taking the high road, and they definitely didn't. And then to immediately start, oh, well, we have to apologize about this. And then we have to apologize about that. And they apologized like so many times.
They actually apologized for their apology not being strong enough the first time.
Right.
Like, this is stupid. This is so stupid. This could have all just been solved if they'd have held their tongue for like a day and let Fox News say something stupid so that they can go show it off to the world saying, look, they're douchebags. But no, they had to go and make that first strike. So instead of taking that high road and looking good, they come out of it and they have gained nothing.
Well, speaking of the high road, I do have a stoner theory about this, if you're ready for it. All right. This is one of multiple times I've noticed where Professor Farnsworth's What If machine would be very useful in our society. I think the outcry...
Only if you use the thing longer to activate it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're not talking to an amateur here. But I assume that the outcry would be about 80% less angry and ignorant if the commercial had a white husband with a black wife.
You actually think it's the white woman with the black man thing that is the tipping point?
When you're talking about Republican outrage, it is just vested in black people are so much better than us, and I'm terrified. And especially that second, was it the second or the first? I believe it was the first, where the little girl was at the table lining up Cheerios to represent everyone in the family. Like, this
No. That's the second one. The first one is the one where she's building the Cheerios on his chest to protect his heart.
Now, in the second one, she's lining up the Cheerios on the table saying, that's me, that's you, and that's mommy. And then the dad takes out another Cheerio and says, and pretty soon you're going to have a new baby brother. That means between the two commercials, they had sex.
Oh. Oh, and also the little mulatto girl, she's like, I don't get the baby brother unless I get a puppy, too. So she's also extorting the dad, too, right?
That to an old Republican, that is terrifying. To like an old school Jim Crow Republican, of which this country is full, that is horrifying.
I never thought about it like that, but that's creepy, but you're not wrong.
One of the comments that I saw that was like the vitriol comments was there's no way a black man would actually stay with his woman.
I saw that too. Jesus Christ.
I saw one person saying this commercial's unrealistic because the black guy is actually staying with the child he sired. And it's like, wow, is that some ignorant fucking racism?
That's what I'm saying, man. It's everywhere.
MSNBC was not wrong initially. I agree with you, Kat. They were wrong to make the first strike. They should have held their tongue. I can't believe anything MSNBC does anymore. I love Rachel Maddow. I think she is the only real journalist they actually have there. And this even impugns her credibility by just how quick they groveled. Because let's say the situation were reversed and it was Fox News saying something and it was the Democratic Party saying, we're not going to allow any Democrats on your station and whatnot. Do you really think Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch would have held back, or would they have seen that as a victory?
They would have seen that as a victory, I think.
Yeah, they definitely don't apologize to anyone for anything because they don't believe that they're wrong about anything. And for MSNBC to be like, oh, no, we're sorry. It means like, hey, we realized that we made a mistake. And it just makes them seem so weak.
And this even coming after the Martin Bashir thing that you and I talked about, Kat, remember, with the shitting in his mouth? After that, and then this...
Okay, whose mouth did Martin Bashir shit in?
Martin Bashir said that somebody should take a shit in Sarah Palin's mouth, and he was fired over that. Kat and I went into it on a much deeper level in an earlier episode.
I was busy that week, and I think I was booking my ticket to Alaska to shit in Sarah Palin's mouth.
Fair enough. So to me, this is just ridiculous.
If that offends you, it means God wants you to kill yourself.
I can't follow that. Can you, Kat?
I can't follow that.
We'll take a break and we'll be back after Heart.
We'll be right back. judgment line. It's so easy when you just turn it on. Turn it on. Turn it on. Turn it on.
I'm Hart D. Fisher. You are now in the heart attack portion of What the Fuck. And with me, of course, is Mr. Josh Hadley, who's in almost every goddamn show on Jackalope Radio. Say hi, Josh.
Oh, please. I'm in four.
Oh, I thought you were in more, including the Geek Juice shit.
Well, I'm not on that every week, though. I'm not always on Geek Juice Radio, so that I'm only a guest on.
You're like a floater.
Yeah, I'm in four regular shows and sometimes some of the others.
Well, folks, if you have not heard the one-hour heart attack, check it out. The archives have been updated at jackaloperadio.com. You could get all the background at 1201beyond.com. And yeah, we got t-shirts for sale there. We could use your dough. It'd help us pay some bills and eat some burgers. You can go to 1201beyond.com or AmericanHorrors.com/store, and you could order that stuff up. Even if you're overseas, guys, if you are overseas and you want to get some shirts, go ahead and hit us up. We ship overseas. We ship to Canada. It's a pain in the ass, but we do it, don't we, Josh? While we're on the air, I wanted to throw out a thank you to the people at BloodyDisgusting.com for breaking the blacklist and for actually interviewing me. For anybody who has not seen, I've been doing this series of interviews for BloodyDisgusting.com, and the first one is up, and part two I just turned in yesterday, and they've been pretty cool, and we talk about some pretty dynamite stuff in there, and we even talk about heart attack.
I read the first part, and the first part was really good.
Well, the coolest thing about the interview was a guy, one of the guys at BleedingCool.com, I talk about in this Bloody Disgusting interview, I discuss when the second largest distributor in the country destroyed copies of the Dahmer comic rather than give them to their retailer customers. They paid me for the books, got accepted the books, and then they destroyed the Dahmer biography books, which was really fucking weird. And so I talked about that in the interview, and Richard Johnson at Bleeding Cool, he talked about what happened to him, where he had an issue where they had over-ordered books from him involving – his book was called The X-Flies, X-F-L-I-E-S, and in the solicitation, they fucked up and called it X-Files. So again, he got paid for thousands of copies, and the distributor ended up turning around and destroying the books. So it was kind of interesting to hear about that, that I wasn't the only guy that that kind of thing happened to, whereas mine was political and theirs was more about we over-ordered a title that was misspelled.
There has to be more behind it than we fucked up, so we're going to eat it. It's no, we fucked up and we're going to make sure they do not get. Do you remember what book it was of yours that they did that to? It was the Just a Jeffrey Dahmer biography, right?
It was the Jeffrey Dahmer. The title of the book was Jeffrey Dahmer, an unauthorized biography of a serial killer. And I can't remember if that was, if it was the second print or the third print.
But just the fact that they would order them and then not give them to their customers. So what did the customer stores who ordered these and not receive them, did you get any back hit from that?
Yeah, some of these stores were fucking mad. They wanted copies of the books. Their customers wanted copies of the books. And frankly, that distributor hurt those stores. Because what is the store going to tell his customer? Hey, Johnny, I'm sorry I couldn't give you your Dahmer book because my distributor decided they had a political issue with it and they imposed a self-imposed ban on the book without telling anybody. What are they going to tell them? I found out on accident.
Before the internet, so you couldn't direct order them from you easily.
Yeah, and that's an issue. And then I also go into some details about my issues with the Comic Legal Defense Fund and some of the way that I was treated in the industry by some of these people. And it's a pretty interesting read, and I think that part two is going to be even more dynamite.
And like I said, I've read it, and it is kind of an interesting insight into what the comic book controversies, and I mean the legal controversies, were back in the 90s. Because you got to remember, a lot of people weren't reading back then, Hart. So they're only finding out about Veronica number 4 by a Google search now. So well, they don't remember what the climate was like back then.
And here's the funny thing is you say less people are reading or you say more people are reading now and you're wrong. The readership for comics is through the fucking basement. We're dealing with dark times in the comic industry. When you've got a best-selling title, your best-selling title's 40,000 copies. That's not good for an industry when you're probably getting, you know, $1.20 or $1.30 a book. And you got to pay a colorist, an artist, an inker, a penciler. You got to pay for the printing. You got to pay for the editorial staff. You got to ship this shit because color books are heavier than black and white books. We're close to the end of comic books as we know it, because if there's no fucking money, and we know that the movies aren't pushing the sales of the comics. That's been a big dark secret, is when a Batman movie comes out, you don't really get a spike in Batman comic books. And I have said for a long time, they really needed to get super cheap Batman books into the lobbies of these movies. When the movies open, it'd be great to have them in the lobby. Cheap for a buck, something a kid could read, a kid could walk out of there and get some Batman books. But the leaders of the industry are pretty stupid, and they consistently tighten the circle. They're not very good at expanding the market. They're kind of fucking dumb. And that's one of the reasons I left comics to do American Horrors. You know, I left comic books to do movies and TV because I didn't see a glass ceiling there. I thought the sky was the limit, and I felt that I could actually make a living, do what I wanted to do. And now, instead of me doing a comic book once a month or once every couple of months, dude, I'm on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I'm free worldwide. It doesn't cost anybody anything to watch my horror channel. And I get to go shoot stuff and talk about what I like. I get to show people cool horror movies that they've never seen before. So why do I want to go back to comic books? I mean, seriously, honestly, in comics, I was really treated like shit. You know, right. I was treated like crap.
But you were one of the people that kicked up the dirt in the faces of Marvel, DC, Image, etc. before all the conglomerations. And isn't anyone doing that anymore, is there?
No, there's nobody. I was the guy, unlike, you know, like an Alan Moore who took it up the ass from DC over the Watchmen, I gave it to Marvel up the ass over infringing on my properties. And I fucking kept it up. And I kept humiliating them with stuff like the Marvel Can Suck My Cock t-shirts, which were really about Marvel's business practices that were designed to drive independent publishers out of business. That was what they were all about. And so I showed creators and I showed fans that you didn't have to eat shit from the corporations. You could beat them. You could go to court and you could win. And I won again and again and again. And I didn't go broke doing it either. Everybody thinks like, oh, these lawyers are going to cost me thousands of dollars. Well, actually, you know, if you're dealing with First Amendment issues, you can find like lawyers that can help you. When I was doing comic conventions and around the country, there was a couple of guys, a couple lawyers in Chicago that we joked as they were the official Boneyard Press bartenders, you know, and Steve, Lane, wherever you guys are, I miss you fucking guys. And they were a blast. And so were so many of the fans and people that supported us. They were awesome. That was the best thing about doing comics was the fans. You know, the people that supported me and bought the books and came out to the conventions and, you know, fed me and kept me going and kept my spirits up. It was the fans. It wasn't the rest of the industry. The fans really kept me going and kept me moving. And they were the ones that picked me up when I was down. You know, those were the guys that would help me out. And some of the store owners, too. A lot of the actual owners of the stores were really, really fucking cool and really helped me keep it together. So I don't know, man. I got a lot of good memories of comics and a lot of bad memories. And you could read about them at bloodydisgusting.com for their interviews. And on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Me and Josh have just been having fun shooting the shit here. Tune in next week and we'll be a lot angrier.
Okay, since we were talking about Republicans, and this one is not anti-Republican, but I think this is really funny. Well, the weekend we're recording this, did you guys hear about the crazy New York man that was sitting in his car with a loaded rifle, a machete, and a container of gasoline while threatening to kill former President George W. Bush after professing a romantic interest in the Bush's, we hope, oldest daughter, Barbara Bush?
Was he going to kill them from the car with all of those things?
I'm not sure. It's not clear because this just happened, but he wanted to
kill... I don't think
he
thought that far enough ahead. It doesn't hurt to have them with you.
He's prepared. He's got the old Boy Scout motto, right?
Be prepared. It's a Girl Scout motto, too, by the way.
This man, Benjamin Smith, a 44-year-old, claims that he has a romantic relationship with Barbara Bush. Now, remember, there are two Barbara Bushes. George Bush's wife and George Bush's daughter, both named Barbara. The thing I love about the Reuters article is they say they assume he means the younger Barbara. I think it's funnier if we assume it's the older, don't you?
Yes.
I think it's funnier that way, but I'm quoting here. I'm going to work for George W. Bush in the Pentagon. I have to slay a dragon, and then Barbara Bush is mine.
Man.
Again,
guys.
Way funnier if you imagine Barbara Bush Sr.
Exactly.
Not even once.
The reason I find this one funny, besides that, is the fact that this isn't satire. Reuters is a reputable news source. What does that say to you?
Drugs are so bad for you. Drugs are so bad for you. If you have a mental condition, you shouldn't do drugs. That's all I can think of. This guy is either crazy or on drugs or both. Nothing makes sense. The slaying the dragon, the working at the Pentagon, and anything about being in a relationship with any Barbara Bush. None of this is healthy. Obviously, very bad sign of some sort of mental deficiency.
This is a difficult case, man, because it's something that really needs to be taken seriously, because there really are just whack, schizophrenic, just no hope for redemption people out there. There are some crazy people out there, and without help, they are dangerous to themselves, to everybody else. But it's difficult to take it that seriously because it's fucking hilarious.
It's a very precarious situation we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
That's funny.
We want to joke difficult. About it, but at the same time, let's say the cops hadn't caught him and he had tried to actually attack former President George Bush. Then it wouldn't be so funny, would it? Oh, and we would have found out which Barbara Bush he was after.
Yeah, well, that's the most important thing in all of this.
If George Bush survived the attack and it turned out that the psychopath was after the older Barbara Bush, then it would be funny.
Yeah, this would be hilarious. This would be comedian fodder for years to come.
In fact, somebody in the process could have died and it'd still be funny.
Well, since this was in New York and this weekend is the weekend we're recording this is Super Bowl weekend, what about the Hollywood mom that took her 15-year-old daughter to New York specifically to, quote, pimp her out to Super Bowl fans? Yolanda Estola, 39, of Hollywood, actually took her 15-year-old daughter to New York specifically to give her to earn money by giving her daughter over for sex to Super Bowl fans. And the article we're reading from the Sun Sentinel doesn't tell us whether the daughter was willing in this or not.
She seemed kind of indifferent in the article.
Yeah, she kind of seemed like, well, you know,
that's
funny,
my
right?
Mom. She's crazy.
Oh, mom's off her meds again.
This sort of brings to light, there's been an article floating around about the dangers of the prostitution that actually surrounds the Super Bowl, because obviously wherever you go with the Super Bowl, there's going to be a lot of business in the area. And one of those businesses that nobody likes to talk about is prostitution.
I like to talk about it.
Well, of course, you like to talk about prostitution. But this sort of just is a well-timed, considering this article that's been floating around the last couple of, maybe last week or two. I just felt like that's kind of weird. I've never heard anybody talk about that before, but I guess it's a real problem. And now I have this article that we've just talked about, which sort of justifies this really happens. People are crazy. And just the fact that something like the Super Bowl can be used to do something like this it's so mind-boggling, but it's probably, as much as we don't want to admit it, fairly common. Now, I don't think everybody drags their, you know, teenage daughter out to a different state to pimp them out for the Super Bowl, but it is something that we can be more aware of.
I think the Super Bowl is just what she chose, that if she was going to do this, she would have done it regardless. She would have done this regardless. It would just happen to be, in all honesty, I think the only reason it caught headlines is because she was doing this for Super Bowl patrons. I think for her to do this to her 15-year-old daughter, I'm afraid I'm right on this. This was probably not the first time she's done it. That's the scary part.
Well, I mean, like Kat said, it is probably more common than anyone realizes, and that's a terrible thing, but there are terrible people out there. What I thought set this story apart was the fact that prostitution was the goal. Usually when people go to New York with, like, dreams of making money and, you know, becoming a star and stuff, prostitution does not come in until way later when everything else fails. In this case, prostitution was the end game in her mind.
More honest that way, right?
That says more about society than it does about anything else.
It's just really sad. The whole situation, even if the daughter was willing, it's not something that should ever have happened, where you would rather sell your child's body for money. It's just a fucking horrible situation. I feel really bad for the daughter because she has clearly been told that that's what her purpose is. That's what she's worth.
Her mom broke her.
Yeah, it's such a level of failed parenting that it is just, it's unbelievable and it's tragic.
Think of all the dystopian science fiction movies you see about infertility, where in the future you need a license to bear children. Somebody needs to look into that because it's not a bad idea.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to go there. Charlie, you and I have had this discussion before.
I'm just saying.
Let's move from that to a different type of bad parenting. This time, not an American for once. An Italian mom, of course unidentified. An Italian teacher accidentally showed a student's mom being gangbanged by 6 men, all set to Duran Duran music. She put a USB stick into the overhead projector. The kid was supposed to be doing a report on a compilation of 1980s music and what it meant that his mom had prepared for him. Well, apparently, I don't know if this was an accident or if this is what the mom prepared, but she was being banged by 6 dudes, all set to Duran Duran. The article doesn't tell us which song, so I want to go Girls on Film. It seems more appropriate, doesn't it?
It seems like she's more hungry like a wolf.
Yeah. Mm.
I'd say that's her fault for naming that folder Hungry Like the Wolf.
You know, this is a situation that could have been managed entirely if the kid had done his own homework.
Well, there's that. I mean, there is the helicopter parenting, or the gangbang parenting, I guess, in this case. But there's also the fact that the wrong people are being blamed for this. The parents of all the other kids who saw the gangbang footage are blaming the school. Totally the school's fault, right?
Because the school totally had control over that child's project. What the fuck?
I just imagine the kid who showed a video of his mom getting gangbanged to his entire class, picking up a newspaper and reading about a kid in America who had their lunch taken away and then saying, boo fucking who?
Live my life, fucker. And the kid in question is 8. He is not living this down for the rest of his school tenure, is he?
That kid is not going to be okay until graduation, at least.
Well, first, not even the fact that your friends and enemies all saw that. Just knowing that your mom filmed herself to Duran Duran getting banged by 6 dudes, he's not going to look at his mom the same anymore, is he?
He's not going to clean his room anymore, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't touch anything around the house without a bottle of Purell.
It's like, hey, clean your room. Oh, really? Well, you got banged by 6 dudes.
And you put it in my homework, so.
So I'm just
going
to go outside and play, Mom.
I'm doing what the fuck I want, bitch. What are you going to do about it? Take it in the ass?
I wonder how much he really understood of what was going on. Because the kid's 8, you know, maybe he, you know, he hadn't had that talk yet with his parents because, you know, his mom's too busy gangbanging. But
I wonder if my question is, was one of them the dad? I don't know.
Someone was working the camera.
Asking the important questions here.
That's what occurred to me. That's where my head went. I'm sorry.
The hard hitting.
It just makes me wonder how much of the biology of what was going on did the kid actually understand? Like,
are they wrestling with mom?
Because these are pretty young kids, and a lot of parents, you know, they take their time in talking to their kids about biology and how babies are made. And so maybe, you know, you had some sheltered kids there who didn't really understand what was going on, but by golly, they all knew by the end of it.
I was going to say, all you need is one really fucked up kid to explain it to them.
I see for the future of this story, that mom is going to get invited. Larry Flint's going to call her up and go, do you want to make some money? You know, and that's going to happen.
And I think she should do it if all the money goes towards college for that kid.
Or
also the
psychologist
therapy
that
he's going to need.
Yeah, he's going to need some mental help. So.
Yeah, or legal defense, whatever. He's going to need money is what I'm saying.
It's Italy. I'm sure no laws were actually broken.
Ask Amanda Knox how many laws were broken.
All right, now we're gonna move on to something a little more serious. Way back in like 2011, I called this. The TSA is laughing at you.
Yeah.
A former TSA employee has come out, and he claims he has evidence to back this up. That basically, you know, all those full body scanners that they said, we do not keep the images, you know, we're totally serious about it. No, they would actually call people over to look at hot women. They would make fun of people's genitalia. They would make fun of the folds in fat people. The TSA, if they don't like you, they'll pull you out of line and give you a rectal exam to think that you're hiding anything there. If you're really attractive, well, then maybe you get an extra pat down. Basically, everything comedians have been joking about the TSA for the past 3 or 4 years was actually really accurate.
Totally not surprising at all. A little disheartening, you know, because you want to trust, you know, anybody in the world at all, but not really surprising.
I don't have a whole lot for this. I mean, I do think it's wrong for extra pat downs for attractive people, because that's bordering on rape. I mean, it's definitely sexual harassment, but it's almost rape. But if laughing at weird genitals is wrong, then I'm wrong.
I don't want to be right.
Just because something's not supposed to be funny doesn't mean you can stop from laughing at it.
All right, I see your point. I don't agree with it, but I see your point. But my point is, these were supposed to be professionals, and yet all I'm seeing is the cast of Animal House running the Transport Safety Administration. That's disturbing to me.
I don't think we really got the sense of how big this was. Was this like, the guys that I work with at my airport, some of them are pretty douchey, so I'm going to write about just the douchey ones and skip over all the good people? Because it makes it sound like it's huge, rampant, like every single person does this, but we don't really get a sense of the scale of how big this was.
Oh, I agree with that. We don't know how pervasive it is. Look at it like this. If this is happening, say, in just one airport, it's most likely also happening in others. Because this kind of behavior, I don't think, is the kind of thing that's isolated to one specific region. You're going to have immature frat boys patting people down everywhere.
Yes, there are shitty people everywhere. And that's just part of the human condition, as far as I'm concerned. But, I mean, with TSA agents specifically, a job is only as... a job is done only as well as the people that are willing to do the job. I mean, that
like
is
lunch
a,
ladies?
Exactly.
Yes.
Like lunch ladies. I mean, when you have a shitty job that is that important, you need to pay them well so you can hire better people. Because if you limit yourself to the people that are willing to do the job, you're going to get people laughing at your weird ball sack.
Where did the TSA agent touch you, Charlie?
On my weird ball sack.
Fair enough. Well, let's move on to that from that to our final thing. I really don't know how I feel about this next one because it's a double-edged sword. Okay, you guys know about all of the food stamp cuts that came in November of last year, right?
Not a whole lot.
Basically, the Republicans said, everybody are takers and, you know, we need to cut food stamps. It was more of that. If we cut their food stamps, that'll give them more of a push to go out and get a job and get off food stamps. You know,
now here, let me get my $1 million bonus.
Yeah, exactly. So food stamps were cut. The business that's hurt the most from this is Walmart. Food stamps were cut by $5 billion, leaving 47 million Americans now even more under the poverty line. Well, now they can't afford to go to Walmart anymore to get to use their food stamps. 18% of all food stamps in America are spent at Walmart. That number has dropped precipitously. So Walmart is now bitching at the same people that they paid to give them all their tax breaks, going, you cut food stamps. Now they're not spending as much at our store, so you hurt us. You're going to pay for this. I'm of two minds on this. This proves just how dumb it was to cut food stamps, but I love to see Walmart get hurt. I don't know where I swing on this one.
It's so hard to say, because this is like, this is definitely something that if you spent any time looking at, you should have seen this coming. You should have known this was going to happen.
This kind of goes back to the TSA agent. I mean, as long as we keep electing only the people that are willing to put themselves through the process of running for public office, we're going to get shitty people that do stuff like that.
Okay, Kat, I just made a decision. We're running Charlie for the Senate next year.
I'm for that.
Shit.
Or are you saying you're not willing to run?
I had stuff to do.
You could be the first pothead senator.
Oh, I don't think I would be the first.
The first no. open.
You ever really, really looked at Mark Udall? Come on.
What do you think this is going to say to the RNC, since they're the ones who voted for this? What do you think this is going to say about people that need help? Because this both says that Walmart really counted on people spending their food stamps at Walmart, but by us cutting them, you know, to give them a push in the right direction to get off their lazy asses and stop being takers, that we end up hurting everybody with our stupid rhetoric.
I don't think that the RNC is going to take it that way. I don't think they're capable of understanding that actions have consequences like that, that logic dictates that's how it's going to work. They're going to see it as some sort of fluke, or it's just the first step, it's going to get better or whatever. And the actual cause and effect are probably not going to matter to them. What's going to matter is when other, like the big corporations like Walmart, who aren't making the money that they used to make from these people, it's going to come back to hurt the RNC later, because it's going to cause bad juju with corporations and all of that. It's the only way to get it through to them that something's not working is for one of their allies, like a big corporation, to come up and say, hey, this doesn't work, and we're not going to give you any money or support you on something until this gets fixed.
So in a way, do you see this maybe coming out as a positive? This might send the message that was not being sent before?
It might. I don't know that just Walmart, and I don't think just Walmart is enough. You have to have some more stuff like this. It needs to be like this in a couple more areas and an increasingly larger scale for Republicans to really get it, you know, because they're thick.
They are thick. I'll give you that. I think this is something that should lead to legislature reform and accountability and everything like that, but I don't think it's going to. I just think it's an instance of, oh shit, this affects us, never mind, and then it'll go away. We will all know why that's the reason why it went away, but no one will talk about it.
Yeah, maybe if MSNBC had any balls, they would, but we know they don't.
No, Rachel Maddow has the biggest balls on that network. Rachel Maddow can teabag me with those balls, and it would be a privilege.
On that note, where can we find Charlie the Fister getting teabagged by Rachel Maddow McMullen?
That is a formal Photoshop challenge to anybody who might be listening. Nothing wrong with that. But you can find me on Twitter at Charlie McMullen, on Facebook, and at geekjuicemedia.com.
Where can we find the cat?
Not getting teabagged by Rachel Maddow.
Your loss?
It is truly. It's truly my loss. On Twitter at Labyrinth Cat, and on Facebook under Nerdist Cat. And you can also find me on, what's that website I refer to? ThatGuyWithTheGlasses.com under the podcast tab with my podcast, Nerd to the Third Power.
Which you should be listening to.
Because it's awesome.
Listen to it after this.
Yes.
Do it. Don't be an ass.
And then 1201beyond.com. You can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. I'm at geekjuicemedia.com. And there's a store at 1201beyond.com. Buy some t-shirts, damn it. Have a good night.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful, give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. And everybody knows that it's now or never. Everybody knows that it's me or you. And everybody knows that you live forever. Oh, when you've done a line or two. Everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows. And everybody knows. And everybody knows that the plague is coming. Everybody knows that it's moving fast. Everybody knows that the naked man and woman are just a shining artifact of the past. Everybody knows the scene is dead, but there's gonna be a meter on your bed that will disclose what everybody knows. And everybody knows that you're in trouble. Everybody knows what you've been through. From the bloody cross on top of Calvary to the beach in Malibu. Everybody knows it's coming apart. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows, that's how it goes, oh, everybody knows, everybody knows. that's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows.
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.